जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय कृष्ण बलराम जय कृष्ण बलराम कृष्ण बलराम जय कृष्ण बलराम जय राधा श्याम सुंदर राधा श्याम सुंदर राधे जय गौरानिताय जय गौरानिताय गौरानिताय जय गौरानिताय जय प्रभुपाद जय प्रभुपाद प्रभुपाद जय प्रभुपाद हरि बोल हरि बोल नित्य गौर हरि बोल जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतहस्तवाइन गृह सभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय श्री श्री कृष्ण बलराम की जय श्री श्री राधा श्याम सुंदर की जय श्री श्री गौर निताय की जय श्री चैतन्य चरितामृत की जय श्री गौरांग महाप्रभु की जय श्री रूप गोस्वामी पाद की जय श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय श्री कार्तिक मास की जय निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड गौरांग ओम ज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकय चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिचन सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पादां सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च नमो ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्रीगुरून् दीनतारिणं वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो महावदान्याय कृष्णप्रेमप्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरत्विषे नमः हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा सो वी हैव बीन Hare Krishna. So, last two classes, two Thursdays, we have been discussing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings to Srila Rupa Goswami. And from the beginning, Mahaprabhu began by stating that it was not possible for him to cover the entire ocean of devotional service, but rather he would just try to give a few drops of this vast, unlimited ocean of devotional service to Srila Rupa Goswami. In the beginning, the first part of the teachings covered the topic of how rare it is to find a devotee of the Lord. In this topic, Mahaprabhu first began from the most elementary level by talking about how there are different kinds of living entities in 84 lakh species or 8.4 million species of life who are wandering throughout the universe in different bodies, in different planets. And there is life on all the planets. And then he came to the point of the living entity being a spiritual particle of a soul, not being the body. And then he categorized the various living entities in the universe and gradually came to the conclusion that amongst all the living entities, the rarest group of living entities were those who were devotees of Lord Krishna. And then he also gave a few verses from the various scriptures to back up his statement. So having discussed the rarity of a devotee in this world, now Mahaprabhu is going to begin the second topic of his teachings to Rupa Goswami, and that is the creeper of devotional service. Very important topic for us. Bhakti Lata. Lata means creeper. Bhakti means devotional service. So the creeper of devotional service. This is covered in Madhya Leela from text 151 to 165. So we will begin. Mahaprabhu begins with a very famous verse. Somebody, I will request somebody on this side and that side also to please do some seva. Every time there is the chart to be flipped, somebody may please get up and change the chart. So can every time I indicate, somebody please switch over to the next chart. No, there is a... You're supposed to write the verse, not just like that. You're supposed to write the translation, not the word translation. Okay, it doesn't matter. Alright, doesn't matter. Okay, so I'll just read it because these notes were prepared a little late before I came here. So, obviously some communication gap, but doesn't matter. This is a very famous verse. Brahmanda Bhramite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Paye Bhakti Lata Beej. I am sure all of you have heard this verse before. And probably most of you have also memorized it. If you have not, then please do so, because this is a very, very important verse. Very simple to memorize. Brahmanda Bhramite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Paye Bhakti Lata Beej. I will read Srila Prabhupada's translation. According to their karma, all living entities are wandering throughout the entire universe. Some of them are being elevated to the upper planetary systems, and some are going down into the lower planetary systems. Out of many millions of wandering living entities, one who is very fortunate gets an opportunity to associate with a bona fide spiritual master by the grace of Krishna. By the mercy of both Krishna and the spiritual master, such a person receives the seed of the creeper of devotional service. So actually this verse is so important, you may please repeat after me. Brahmanda bhramite kono bhagyavan jeev. Guru Krishna prasade paye bhakti lata bij. Brahmanda bhramite kono bhagyavan jeev. Guru Krishna prasade paye bhakti lata bij. Brahmanda means the universe, Brahmite means wandering. Kono Bhagyavan Jeev means some fortunate soul. Bhagyavan means fortunate. So amongst all the millions and millions of living entities wandering in the cycle of birth and death in the different species of life in this universe, hardly one fortunate soul gets Guru Krishna Prasad. He gets the mercy. Prasad means mercy. So what we eat every day, we call it prasad. But we should remember the significance of the term. Generally when I say, have you had prasad? Then we think of some food that we are supposed to eat and put in our stomachs. But the word prasad actually means mercy. So the food that is offered to Lord Krishna is called prasad because it is Krishna's mercy. And by simply eating, we can go back to Godhead. When one can actually become purified by just eating the remnants of the food offered to Lord Krishna. So the word prasad actually means mercy. So by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, one such very fortunate soul who is wandering in the cycle of birth and death in the universe gets the bhakti lata bij. Bij means the seed. Lata is creeper. So one gets the seed of the creeper of devotional service. So this is a very, very important point, because without this, one cannot make any advancement in spiritual life. So this verse describes how one becomes a devotee. So can we please turn the charts? So it is here in chart form, a sequence of how one becomes a devotee. I hope all of you can read either this chart or that chart. So, in the purports of Srila Prabhupada, he has explained this whole thing very clearly. It is interesting that when I was going through Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's purports to these verses in Chaitanya Charitamrita, any a part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, I find that Srila Prabhupada's purports very closely follow the commentary of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, which is called the Anubhashya. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary to the Chaitanya Charitamrita is called the Amrit Pravaha Bhashya. And whenever Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes any relevant comment, then Srila Prabhupada also includes that. Especially his chapter summaries are very useful. So in Prabhupada's purports, he has explained how actually one comes to the point of becoming a devotee. So all of us, we have become devotees. Now it's interesting to know how we came here, right? So the process has taken us many, many lifetimes. It's not an easy thing. As we have discussed earlier, Mahaprabhu began his teachings by saying that it is very, very rare to find a devotee. So it obviously means that it is not easy. It means also that it is very time consuming. So it has taken us many, many lifetimes to be here where we are, sitting in Sri Vrindavan Dham, being in the association of devotees, hearing and talking about Krishna. So it is explained that first of all, there is service rendered even unknowingly to Krishna and to the Vaishnavas. Sometimes it may be knowingly rendered by a pious person, but that pious person is simply pious, is not really very seriously spiritual, is not like a committed devotee who understands that the goal of life is to please Krishna, to serve him and to love him. But out of some piety, someone may offer obeisances to Krishna, or he may render some kind of service to Krishna, Krishna's devotee. And these things accumulate, even if they are unknowingly performed. We see that in the ISKCON movement, Srila Prabhupada instituted the process of preaching very, very actively, following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu would send out Haridas Thakur and Nityanand Prabhu, go door to door and preach the message of Krishna consciousness. Sometimes Mahaprabhu himself would lead out Harinam Sankirtan parties, and hundreds of thousands of devotees would come out onto the streets chanting the holy names. So this was a regular feature. So when Srila Prabhupada started ISKCON, he also began this book distribution movement where people would go out, devotees would go out into the streets, go into the airports, at the railway stations, bus stations, in the offices, in the shops, in the markets, home to home, door to door. They would go out and meet people. Similarly, the devotees would also go out on the streets chanting the holy names, having Harinam Sankirtan. So in the course of such preaching work, many, many people who had no idea absolutely of Krishna consciousness, they got a chance unknowingly to render some service. For example, as the Harinam Sankirtan party was growing on the road, there were some people who heard the Sankirtan and with some kind of interest and curiosity, they started looking on, who are these people? The kind of music they're having is nice. They were shining faces, they look very happy, the music is also very nice, but they look kind of strange, but it's all right, but they seem very happy. What is it they are doing? So they would hear the kirtan, so their seva began. The seva began by hearing. Even when one hears the holy name of the Lord, even unknowingly, one's service begins. Sometimes the devotees go out and distribute prasadam. Many, many people come and take the prasadam. They don't know the significance of prasadam. They don't know how important it is, what its spiritual value is. They may take it simply as food if they are hungry. There is a famous industrialist who is one of the multi-billionaire, very well known in the computer world, one of the pioneers of the computer revolution in the modern day. And after many years, he revealed in one article that he wrote somewhere in a newspaper that as a young man, when he was trying to find his bearings, he was not settled in his business, he was a dropout from university, and he was struggling in life, he would go to the Hare Krishna temple. And he would go there because he loved the prasadam, the food that they would give there. And he continued like this for many months. Every Sunday he would walk down, he would take the prasadam and come away. And even after 30 years, he remembered this. So, he gained a lot of, he got opportunity to render seva. He got the association of devotees. He heard about Krishna. He must have attended some kirtans. Perhaps he sat in some classes also. And of course he had prasadam, Krishna prasadam. So he rendered seva by tasting Krishna's prasadam, even though he probably didn't know that it was a kind of seva. When Srila Prabhupada began the ISKCON movement, in the early days in America, he had this small shop front, and many people would come and go, the young men and women. Many of them were hippies. They didn't know any culture. And the area in which Srila Prabhupada stayed was not a very cultured area. It wasn't that there were very good people staying there. Because Prabhupada didn't have any money, so he had to go to the area where the rents were the cheapest. So in those areas, you had many undesirable elements staying there. Many who were taking drugs, who were taking alcohol, having illicit activities, many things were going on. So somehow or the other, Srila Prabhupada started, and people were becoming interested. They were coming regularly to his classes and kirtans, and they would take prasadam. One time, one drunk man, he was completely intoxicated. He walked into the satsang as Srila Prabhupada was speaking, and he carried a roll of toilet paper. And in his drunk way, he presented this. He came all the way through the crowd of people sitting there, and he presented this toilet paper to Srila Prabhupada. In all good spirit. He just liked him. He said, let me do something for him. He didn't understand anything about what Prabhupada was, who he was. In any case, he was too intoxicated. Many of the devotees got a little disturbed. Perhaps they got up and thought it was an offense because he gave toilet paper to Srila Prabhupada, and they wanted to throw him out, and they got a little agitated. But Prabhupada said, no, he has done some service for me. He has come and give me some toilet paper. He has done seva. So his Krishna consciousness has begun. So whether that drunk man eventually started coming later and became a devotee or not, I do not know. Probably not. But regardless, he is now in line to be Krishna's devotee, whether in this life or in another life in the future. Because he served a pure devotee of the Lord without any reservations. He didn't have any expectations from Prabhupada. He didn't have any material desires to gain from Prabhupada. So he simply rendered some service because he thought he was a good man. That's all. So there are numerous instances that we can give like this by which we can understand how service rendered knowingly or even unknowingly to the devotees accumulates over many lifetimes. A little bit now, a little bit later, maybe in the next life, another life, another life. So this is the specific nature of spiritual activity. It is never destroyed. Neha bhikramanashosti pratyavayona vidyate svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. In the Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, Lord Krishna says that even a little bit of devotional service done to Lord Krishna in this life will never be lost. It protects one from the greatest type of fear. So this credit of seva that we do gets accumulated, adds up, it doesn't get lost. As opposed to this, whatever material seva or material assets that we have, they get destroyed at the time of death, and there is no continuation in the next life. As Prabhupada used to say, if we have a certain amount of money now in this life, there is no guarantee that in the next life I will be born in a family that has also so much money. But spiritual assets are not like that. They are never destroyed, and they accumulate from lifetime to lifetime. So after many lifetimes, such assets which are called Sukriti, they accumulate. Sukriti is devotional piety, pious activities of a devotional nature. Now when such pious activities are performed unknowingly, they are called Agyata Sukriti. Agyata means unknowingly performed. So after lifetimes of accumulation of such Agyata Sukriti, one becomes ready now to receive the Bhakti Lata Beej, to receive the seed of devotional service. It is explained that this piety or this pious activity is different from ordinary material piety. This is devotional piety. That pious activity which is done in connection to Krishna or Krishna's devotees, whether knowingly or unknowingly. But it must be in connection with Krishna or his devotees. Whereas other kinds of activities may be karma sukritis or jnana related sukritis. So the technical word for this according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is bhaktyonmukhi sukriti. Bhakti unmukhi sukriti. That sukriti or that pious activities which eventually gives rise to bhakti. So these are also acts of bhakti because they are connected to Krishna. So we can understand that it is only bhakti that gives rise to bhakti. It is nothing else. Whereas the others are called karma unmukhi sukriti, karmonmukhi sukriti. Or it is called jnanonmukhi sukriti. Those sukritis are pious activities that give rise to fruitive mentality or to a desire to merge into the impersonal Brahman and so on. But this piety or this kind of sukriti is different. It is connected to devotional service, even though it is unknowingly done. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains, Chaturvidha bhajante mam jana sukritino arjuna artho jigyasu varthaarthi jnani cha bharatarshabha. He says that there are four kinds of pious people who are called sukritinas. Sukritinas means those who have done sukriti, pious activities, who come to me. They are one who is distressed, one who is seeking some material benefit or wealth, one who is inquisitive, and one who is wise. So Srila Prabhupada explains that these four categories of people, they come to Krishna because they are pious. If they are not pious, they will not come to Krishna for fulfillment of their desire. Rather, they will become a communist, or they will become some atheist, or they will rob a bank to fulfill their desires, or something like that. But because these people are pious, therefore they approach Krishna. These four kinds of people, if they are not pious, they will not go to Krishna. So Prabhupada explains that this piety is again not a material piety. It is the same kind of sukriti, the ajnata sukriti that has developed over many lifetimes, which is what makes somebody approach Krishna and not something else. We see that sometimes when people are sorrowful, they may take shelter of alcohol, they may take shelter of drugs, sometimes in great frustration they may even commit suicide. They may go to a psychiatrist. They may do so many things when they are suffering. But a devotee of Krishna goes to Krishna. So in any way, for many, many lifetimes, such ajnata sukriti develops. Actually, there is some mistake here. This Krishna's mercy should be a separate thing coming from outside. Okay? So Krishna's mercy. Now when there is sukriti that is accumulated, one gets Krishna's mercy. Krishna sees now this candidate, this jiva is ready for my seva. He is ready for devotional service. So what does Krishna do? Krishna bestows his mercy. In what way does Krishna bestow his mercy? Krishna brings that fortunate soul to the association of devotees. In the association of devotees, Prabhupada says, he comes across a bona fide spiritual master, and by the mercy of the bona fide spiritual master, he gets a little shraddha, a little faith, which is actually the seed of the creeper of devotional service, the bhakti lata bij. Once he has got the bhakti lata bij, now there is some faith. So he starts hearing, he starts getting educated about the spiritual process, and as the education process goes on and he or she begins to understand what is this devotional service, then gradually the candidate starts performing pure devotional service and comes to become a devotee. So all of us here are trying to seriously practice Krishna consciousness. So we have been through this whole link, and that is why we are all here today. So Krishna's mercy and the Guru's mercy are connected. So can we please turn the charts? So we'll try to explain each word of now when it says Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij, that by the mercy of Guru and the mercy of Krishna we get the seed of devotional service, what does it mean? There is Guru Prasad, or the mercy of Guru, and there is Krishna Prasad, which is the mercy of Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada has analyzed what is this Guru Prasad, what is this mercy of Guru. Who is the Guru? Srila Prabhupada explains that Guru is the giver of the seed of devotional service. Guru is the one who gives the seed, the Bhakti Lata Bij. Guru is empowered by the Lord to distribute the Lord's compassion. So the Guru is an agent on behalf of the Lord. The Guru gives mercy, but that is not his own mercy. It is a mercy coming from the storehouse of mercy, that is Krishna. Because the Guru is linked up through the parampara in devotion to that original storehouse of mercy. So he actually can distribute that mercy also. Because of that devotional connection through the Guru Parampara to Krishna, the Guru is empowered. The devotee becomes empowered and is called a Guru. So Guru doesn't have to be somebody, one who is just initiating lakhs of people. Anyone who influences anybody about Krishna consciousness is like a Guru. Because he or she is acting on behalf of Krishna to deliver Krishna's mercy to that person. So earlier in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the very first chapter of the Adilila itself, Kaviraj Goswami talks about different kinds of gurus. He talks of Diksha gurus, of Shiksha guru, of the Path Pradarshak guru, of Vartma Pradarshak guru, of the Chaitya guru. The Chaitya guru means the Lord in the heart. So Krishna is the original Guru. Sitting from within, he is guiding the conditioned soul. And then there is the Guru who is outside. That is a human being usually. And Krishna acts through such a human being in different capacities. Sometimes, even a person who may not himself or herself be a devotee may be the Vartma Pradarshak Guru. Vartma means path. Pradarshak means one who shows. I know of one devotee family who were brought to Krishna consciousness by one of the family members who himself was not a devotee. But he told them, you should go to this temple. I'm not going to come, but you should go. They never knew about this temple. But he forced them, you go, but don't ask me to come. And don't ask me to chant and all these things, but you go. So he pushed his family members, they all became devotees. They became initiated, and whenever they would try to persuade him, he wouldn't go. Of course, eventually, he also became a devotee. But he took many, many years. So the point is that even somebody who is apparently not a devotee may be one who shows us the way to Krishna. And then there is a Shiksha Guru, one who gives us instructions about Krishna. And then is one who is a Diksha Guru, who gives us initiation, who formally connects us to the Guru Shishya Parampara, to the disciplic succession. Krishna manifests himself through all these different personalities. Because ultimately it is all Krishna's arrangement. It is Krishna's mercy that anybody gets some arrangement or facility to hear about Krishna and to progress in devotional service. It is all Krishna's arrangement. So the Guru is Krishna's representative who bestows Krishna's compassion on the people, who actually gives the seed of devotional service, and he blesses the disciple by awarding him devotional service. So what is the gift that the guru has to give to the disciple? Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that the guru gives the best possible gift that he has to offer to the disciple. What is it? A ticket to America or some kind of material progress? No. The best possible gift that the guru has is opportunity to serve Krishna. So he gives the disciple instructions, guidelines, etc. to serve Krishna. He connects him to Krishna in service. So this is the blessing of the guru. And in this way, the candidate, the disciple, becomes engaged in devotional service. So this is Guru Prasad, or the mercy of the guru, Srila Prabhupada explains here. Then what is Krishna Prasad, the mercy of Krishna? Krishna Prasad, or the mercy of Krishna, means that Krishna is the one who arranges for the guru to come into the life of the disciple. He arranges for instruction to come to the prospective deserving candidate. So Krishna thinks, well, this candidate is ripe for my mercy. So how do I give my mercy to him? I have to send some devotees to him. I have to make him come in the association of a bona fide spiritual master. So this is how Krishna's mercy comes. So the meeting of any person with devotees is not an ordinary occurrence. It is not something that happens by chance. Although it appears so from an external material point of view. Somebody is going in the street and suddenly at that time a devotee happens to walk by, gives him a book. Seems just like it's happened by chance. But it has not happened by chance. It has happened by Krishna's own divine personal arrangement. Krishna is in everybody's heart, directing the wanderings of all living beings. Ishvara sarva bhutanam riddeshi arjuna tishtati brahmayan sarva bhutanam yantra arudhani mayaya. The Lord says, I am seated in the heart of every living entity. I am directing the wanderings of everyone. So he directs the wanderings of the guru and the shishya, or the devotees and the prospective candidate, in such a way that they meet. That is Krishna's mercy. So finally Prabhupada concludes by saying that by the mercy of Krishna we get guru, and by the mercy of guru we get an opportunity to serve Krishna and get Krishna's mercy. This is a wonderful statement, a wonderful way of looking at things. So this is the way this whole mechanism is going on. Krishna is there managing this whole thing very intricately. Just imagine, for every single jiva, Krishna is aware of how much of the sukriti has been stocked up and how ready that particular jiva is to receive his mercy. He monitors every jiva's spiritual evolution over many lifetimes. He arranges at each time for somebody to render devotional service, even unknowingly. And then gradually, when the time is right, he meets a bona fide spiritual master. So this is the understanding of the term Guru Krishna Prasad. This is how Prabhupada has explained it here. The word Brahmanda means not just this universe. Prabhupada explains it means the entirety of all universes in this material creation. So any jiva in any part of the material creation, that is the significance of Brahmanda. Kono Bhagyavan Jeev, a fortunate soul, the purport of that is, as we have seen, one who has attained this Sukriti, this Bhakti Unmukhi Sukriti, Bhaktyonmukhi Sukriti, he is fortunate. So one considers or understands fortune in terms of how much Sukriti one has accumulated. So one has a lot of such devotional piety to one's credit, then one is considered fortunate, and such a fortunate person receives Krishna's and Guru's mercy. So what exactly is this bija, or the seed? We have talked about Brahmanda, we have talked about Bhagyavan, the fortunate soul, we have talked about the mercy of Guru and Krishna. Now let's talk about the seed itself. What is this Bhakti Lata bija? Can we turn the chart, please? The seed of devotional service. Is this the last chart? Srila Prabhupada points out very nicely in the purport that everything has an original cause or a seed. If somebody wants to do any activity, whether it's a small activity or a big activity, someone wants to travel to Vrindavan from somewhere. So first there is a plan in the mind, a contemplation of a plan. Yes, I will have to go to Vrindavan, I have to save up money, I have to buy the ticket, I have to get my visa, I have to do this and that. So many, many things, but it starts with that idea, the seed. Someone wants to build a house, someone wants to do anything, any activity, any device, etc., all begins with a seed of a plan in the mind. Everything has a seed. So similarly, devotional service or bhakti also has a seed. And this bhakti lata bij, where is the sound coming from? It's outside or here somewhere? Somewhere here. Okay. So, Srila Prabhupada says that bhakti lata bij is that seed by which the creeper in the form of devotional service is produced. It is the origin of devotional service. This is the bhakti lata bij. Just like you have a seed of a mango tree, you have a seed of an orange tree, so you have the seed of the tree of bhakti. That is this bhakti lata bij that is received by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. The seed comes by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. So what exactly is the seed? The seed is some kind of faith, surely, because that faith is coming by the mercy. It also comes by the accumulation of our sukriti for so many lifetimes. But in practical terms, Srila Prabhupada gives a very interesting definition of what the bhakti lata bij or the seed of devotional service is. He says that this seed is constituted by the methods, rules and regulations by which one is trained in devotional service. So when we say that by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, one gets the seed of devotional service, it means that one is given instructions about the method of devotional service, about the rules and regulations to be followed in the process of devotional service. And in this way, the seed takes shape. One has now the whole background in which one can gradually progress in devotional service. This is how Srila Prabhupada has explained it. And he actually says, it is the method, rules and regulations by which one is perfectly trained in devotional service. And then he goes on to add that there are many seeds in the hearts of living entities. The bhakti lata bij is very rare to find. But there are other seeds which are called anya bhilasha seeds. Anya means others, abhilasha means desires. So because the bhakti lata bij is very rare, there are many, many other kinds of seeds which bring about desires or fulfillment of desires of various kinds. For example, there is a karma bij, there is a jnana bij. Prabhupada says there is also the philanthropy bij, the social bij. So some people by nature are philanthropic, altruistic. They like to do social service on the material platform. And sometimes it is very hard to bring such people onto the platform of devotional service. They are, from a mundane point of view, good people. They try, their philosophy is, we will not harm anyone. We will only do good to others. We'll build a school, we'll build a hospital, we'll build a, you know, some place to help the poor people, try to help, you know, various kinds of suffering people in this world. So they believe that is the way of welfare work. And this mentality becomes so strong in their mind that they cannot understand the spiritual concept of life. They think that this mundane welfare work is the ultimate welfare, that there is nothing higher than that. So it is very difficult sometimes to change the mind of such people, because that philanthropic bij, the seed that is responsible for that kind of mindset, has also grown very strong into a plant or a tree even. Similarly, there are seeds of material enjoyment which the living entity has nurtured over many lifetimes. And every time the living entity exposes himself or herself to an atmosphere of material enjoyment or to acts of material enjoyment, that seed of karma or bhoga is getting nourished with water so that it starts growing. And eventually it becomes stronger and stronger. It becomes the nature of the living entity to want to enjoy this world. So one develops this fruitive mentality. So that's the karma bij. Then there are some people who have this jnana bij. They have a seed whereby even if they come to spiritual life, they want to merge into the impersonal Brahman. They don't like devotional service. They cannot accept that God is a person. And this bij can be very, very strong. I know one devotee in ISKCON, and I remember talking to him about 8 to 10 years ago, when he was already 25 years in the movement. And we were chatting and he was explaining that as a young man, as barely as a teenager, he was looking for some spiritual truth, and he went into some spiritual organizations which were Mayavadi. That means they were preaching that the absolute truth is impersonal and that there has no form and we have to merge into that. So he associated with those people for several years. He must have had some bij of jnana, because that's how Krishna sent him to that association. But he also had some bhakti bij. That's why eventually he came to Krishna consciousness. He met the devotees eventually. They convinced him that devotional service is a superior path. So he left that. But he was telling me that even after 25 years of sincerely practicing Krishna consciousness, of chanting his rounds, following Ekadashi and everything, sometimes the doubt all of a sudden comes to haunt his mind. Can God really be a person? Does God have a form? How is it? How can God have form? How can absolute truth have form? That haunts him, he said. He said, then I have to remember everything that I've read in the books that I've read, and I have to make great effort. And when that phase comes, it is very troublesome for me, he said. I have to put in so much effort to overcome that phase, that assault on my faith, that God is a person, Krishna is the absolute truth. Even after being so many years as a sincere devotee, that jnana bij must have been so strong that it was disrupting, shaking his devotional creeper. That is why Mahaprabhu has cautioned several times, Mayavadi bhashya shunile hoy sarvanash. He says that if anybody hears or associates with Mayavadis and hears their philosophy, his devotional creeper, his devotional life will be finished. Mahaprabhu was very, very upset whenever anybody went to hear any Mayavadi's discourses. Advaita Acharya was lamenting that Mahaprabhu considers me his superior, whereas actually he is the Lord and I am his servant. But Mahaprabhu used to consider that Advaita Acharya is my senior and I am his servant. So there was a transcendental competition between the two. And eventually Advaita Acharya thought of a plan by which he could get Mahaprabhu's mercy, by which he could get Mahaprabhu to act as a superior. So he deliberately went and started giving classes on the Yoga Vasishtha, where there are some impersonalistic ideas. And he started extolling the virtues of the Nirakar Brahma and how we should worship the Nirakar Brahma or the impersonal Brahman. When Mahaprabhu heard of it, he was so enraged. He came and actually started beating up Advaita Acharya. And Advaita Acharya was overjoyed. He said, "Now my life is successful. You have finally accepted me as your servant." Because only the master chastises the servant. The servant never chastises the master. So Mahaprabhu was so angry that my devotee has gone and heard a philosophy which decries the personality of Godhead. It decries the process of servitude to Krishna eternally. And it is a process that says that we are God and we should just merge with the Lord, the impersonal aspect of the Lord, and extinguish our individuality. So Mahaprabhu was very, very strong about this point. So that's another kind of bija. So we shouldn't associate. Many times devotees, they read various kinds of books by different authors. They read or they hear different kinds of people who may be from different sampradayas, from here and there. Especially this temptation is very strong in Vrindavan. Because in Vrindavan we will find all kinds of sampradayas, all kinds of charismatic speakers and teachers. We will find all kinds of books here on various esoteric aspects of bhakti. And it becomes very tempting for a devotee to think that, you know, I will go and explore these things. And he starts getting the bija, he starts getting the seeds of all these other things. And they interfere with the development of his bhakti lata bij. So Srila Prabhupada explains that this bhakti lata bij, therefore, is obtained by a disciple who is very faithful and who is pleasing Guru and Krishna. Then he is a fit candidate for receiving the bhakti lata bij. If the candidate is not faithful, or if the candidate doesn't act in a way to please Guru and Krishna, then Prabhupada says he gets the anyabhilasha bij. Then he gets the other seeds of karma, jnana, or whatever, some other bij. But he will not get the bhakti lata bij. It's an interesting point. So one must be faithful and one must please Guru and Krishna by one's activities, by one's attitude and so on. Then happily Krishna will award us the seed of devotional service. So in this way, the seed of devotional comes in the heart. And then Mahaprabhu explains after that, that once the seed has been received by the candidate in the heart, then what does he do? Now he must begin to water the seed. And the watering process is by hearing and chanting the glories of Krishna. Mali hona kore shei bija aropan, shravana kirtana jale kore shechan. Mali hona. So one should become a mali or a gardener, Mahaprabhu says. Because a seed has been sown in the heart. The heart must be fertile. Fertile soil. Just like when you plant, when you place a seed on a rocky surface or on barren land, then it will not produce the desired result. Because the soil doesn't have that fertile quality. Similarly, the heart of the candidate in devotional service must be fertile. In the sense that it must be faithful. The right attitude must be there for the devotee. If the devotee has a right attitude, then very quickly it is possible for that seed to sprout into a plant. So what is the watering process? So the translation for this verse is, when a person receives the seed of devotional service, he should take care of it by becoming a gardener and sowing the seed in his heart. If he waters the seed gradually by the process of shravan and kirtan, that is hearing and chanting, the seed will begin to sprout. So this is the watering process. Now the seed has been received by a fortunate soul, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, the seed that will eventually produce the fruit of Krishna prema, the creeper of devotional service. And having faithfully received it and making sincere efforts to please Guru and Krishna, now it is his duty to do Shravan and Kirtan, to hear and chant, as per the instructions of the spiritual master and the scriptures. So Mahaprabhu says, we should all become gardeners, transcendental gardeners. What is the soil? The soil is our heart. What is the seed? The seed is a seed of bhakti, of devotional service. What is the watering process for that seed? It is hearing and chanting about Krishna. Srila Prabhupada says, repeating the instructions of the Guru is Shravan and Kirtan. So whatever we have heard in the Guru Parampara, we should repeat. We hear the Maha Mantra, so we repeat. We hear about Krishna, we repeat. We hear Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, we should repeat. That is Shravan Kirtan. And Srila Prabhupada explains that to live with devotees means to associate with the Shravan Kirtan process. In other words, there is no meaning to living in the association of devotees if one is not hearing and chanting about Krishna. The Shravan Kirtan process is the heart of devotional service. So one must be very eager to engage in the process of Shravan Kirtan or hearing and chanting in the company of devotees. Then the association of devotees becomes fruitful. Otherwise, actually it is not association. Just physically being with devotees is not association. That's an important point to consider. Hearing and chanting about Krishna in the association of devotees, that is association. Prabhupada also goes on to explain that deity worship is part of the Shravan Kirtan process. There are two paths. One is the Bhagavat Marg, the path where there is only hearing and chanting. One doesn't do anything else, like Haridas Thakur. He was only hearing and chanting the holy name all day long, 21 hours a day, maybe more. And there is also the Pancharatrika Marg, the path of Pancharatra where we worship the deity and so on. So, in our movement, we have a combination of the two, although essentially it is based on the process of hearing and chanting. But Srila Prabhupada says that devotees must also participate in the deity worship process. We should not try to imitate Haridas Thakur and think that deity worship is for neophytes and for me, I will only chant and I will read and I will study. No. One must actually do various kinds of sevas that are part of the deity worship program. By deity worship, we don't mean only actually performing the arati or something. It means so many other things. Cooking for the deities, making garlands for the deities, cleaning the temple for the deities, doing all kinds of other services for the temple so that people may come and take darshan of the deities, chanting before the deities. All this is also part of the process of deity worship. So deity worship is a very wide term. So therefore Prabhupada says that in this hearing chanting process, deity worship is included. So all the other sevas that we do here within our ISKCON temples is also part of the watering process for the Bhakti Lata Beej. That is also part of Shravan Kirtan. And finally Srila Prabhupada concludes by saying that one cannot do Kirtan until one has done Shravan. One cannot chant properly until one has heard properly from a bona fide spiritual master. Or one cannot chant properly unless one is following the regulative principles properly. So all these things are important. If we need to do the watering process for the Bhakti Lata Beej carefully. So what are our duties as transcendental gardeners? We have to come in the association of devotees. We have to participate in the full program that Srila Prabhupada has given for us, starting from the Mangal Aarti in the morning, where we participate in the Kirtan, in the Darshans, then we chant the holy names, we attend the class, and in the daytime we render so many different kinds of physical, mental and intellectual services. And they become spiritual because we're doing it for the pleasure of Krishna. And these must be done in an authorized way, having heard from the disciplic succession, not whimsically. One should not, for example, worship the Lord in a whimsical way. One should not chant kirtan in a whimsical way. One should not speak philosophy in a whimsical way. One should do things as one has heard properly from the disciplic succession. Then one can serve properly, one can speak properly. And one must also, Prabhupada cautions, follow the regulative principles carefully so that one will be in a position to chant properly. So if one is hearing and chanting properly, which includes doing sevas also, then the Bhakti Lata Beej or the seed of devotional service is getting properly watered and it will sprout. And then here he says, Prabhupada says, now the seed will begin to sprout. It becomes a plant and it starts growing. And how does it grow thereafter? That we will see next week. Actually, next Thursday we will not have the class. Instead of next Thursday, we will have it next Saturday. So please remember that next week's class, only for next week, has been postponed from Thursday to Saturday. Same time, same place. Hare Krishna. So these are very practical instructions, and as we go ahead, we will see many more practical instructions. Are there any questions or comments? Yes. What are the symptoms of a growing seed? If you are actually doing the hearing and chanting properly, then you will see the creeper moving up. You will feel the attraction to Krishna happening if you are following the process properly. One simply has to follow the process properly, that's all. Then we can rest assured that the creeper will grow. It is growing. The growth of the creeper implies growth in our faith, growth in our attraction to Krishna, growth in our determination to serve Krishna and the devotees. Yes. That we'll come to later, because once Mahaprabhu has described the growth of the devotional creeper, then he will describe the various factors that impede the growth of the creeper. That is a subject for next time, because Mahaprabhu has dealt separately with this topic. That's the question of the aparads. We'll come to that later. Yes. Can the mic please?
I would assume that for that a person is required to be pleased. But whereas on the chart it says, you said the seed is constituted by the methods, rules and regulations by which one is trained in devotional service. So then I would ask the question, that would be also possible by like reading Srila Prabhupada's book and having a purport. And then a related question is, what is the adhika required of the guru to actually, is he just has to pass through, or he has himself to have that seed? Or?
Well, actually I was going to explain, but somehow the charts could not be got ready in time. Prabhupada explains, yes, of course, when you read Prabhupada's books also you are getting the bija, because you are getting so many instructions through these books. So Prabhupada will always remain the predominant Shiksha Guru for the whole movement as long as ISKCON is here on this planet. That is undoubtedly so, because the fundamental source of instruction for all of us are Srila Prabhupada's books. So he will remain the predominant Shiksha Guru. Nevertheless, there is also the need to be formally connected to the parampara. So in the purport here, Srila Prabhupada is explaining that the Bhakti Lata Beej is actually received at the time of initiation. Right? So I will quote from Prabhupada saying here, "This Bhakti Lata Beej is received when one is initiated by the bona fide spiritual master. After receiving the spiritual master's mercy, one must repeat his instruction, and this is called Shravan Kirtan." So this is the formal process of receiving the Bija. At the same time, we also know that because it is a process, see, we are receiving from many quarters, many instructions, but it is all in accordance with the Guru Parampara. Yes, any other question? Right. One second, can you speak into the mic?
Hare Krishna Guruji, I doubt that unless we get formally initiated, that Vijay has not been planted into the heart, or have we received it by the instructions of the Vaishnavas we are meeting?
Yes, you see, it is not initiation. The Diksha ceremony is a formal process whereby you are connected to the Guru Parampara. That is definitely important. But at the same time, if even to be eligible for that particular state, one has to follow the same practices. So one has to follow the instructions that are given by the Guru Parampara. So even if one is not formally initiated, but one is sincerely practicing all the rules and regulations, one is not at a loss, certainly, because one is taking Shiksha. And that Shiksha is very important. In fact, even the heart of Diksha is Shiksha. But at the same time, as Rupa Goswami has said very clearly in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that it is necessary eventually to get initiated, to formalize that connection and to formalize the seed planting process. But it is not that you are deprived of mercy till you are initiated. So it doesn't mean that whatever you have done before you are initiated is not useful. That's not so. It is certainly very useful, and it is necessary also. Anything else? Yes, true. Can somebody please give the mic here?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, why is the word creeper used?
Why
is
the
there
word?
Any significance in the word creeper?
Creeper.
Yeah, creeper.
Okay.
Instead of a tree or anything else, is there a particular significance in that?
It's an interesting question, and we'll come to it a little later, next time. But you see, the reason is that a creeper always needs a shelter, isn't it, to grow. A vine or a creeper, it needs the shelter of a big tree. You'll find in Vrindavan many trees, you'll have these vines climbing up the trees. So this Bhakti Lata Beej needs a shelter. But that shelter is not something material. That shelter ultimately is the lotus feet of Krishna in the spiritual world, in Goloka Vrindavan. So the word creeper is used to indicate that it doesn't take any shelter in this world. Its shelter is directly there in Goloka Vrindavan. That's the reason why creeper is used rather than the tree. Sometimes, of course, the word tree is used also in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the tree of devotional service. So this is to indicate that actually devotional service is fully spiritual. It is not material. And we can't apply the term devotional service to material concepts, like devotional service towards one's country, devotional service to the demigods. No. That is not devotional service, because devotional service is fully spiritual. It can be connected only to Krishna and nothing else. Yeah. Yes.
Two questions. One was asked earlier. I just want some clarification. First of all, just so I can see if my understanding of this Bhakti Beach concept is proper, it seems that one could say that the seed is synonymous or the same as the instructions, receiving instructions from Vaishnavas and Shastras. So question is this statement true or false and why?
Yeah, it's true. I'll just quote from the from what Prabhupada is saying here. Yeah. I'll read a couple of sentences. Bhakti Lata Beach means the seed of devotional service. Everything has an original cause or seed. For any idea, program, plan or device, there is first of all the contemplation of the plan, and that is called bij or seed. The methods, rules and regulations by which one is perfectly trained in devotional service constitute the Bhakti Lata bij or the seed of devotional service. So this is what the seed is constituted of. That is where the mercy is coming, through those instructions, through the knowledge. And if one is faithful and one receives that, those instructions, then one gets that seed.
So earlier question arose, who is qualified to give such a seed? By this answer, it seems that anyone who is giving knowledge in parampara, or any book, shastra and parampara, one could receive that seed. However, one question comes to my mind that what if a person is speaking in parampara but not properly following him or herself? Can one receive gold from a filthy place? Can one receive the seed anywhere when is receiving good instructions?
Yeah, it's an important question. You remember I made a point some time ago about who can do kirtan? The watering process for devotional service, the seed of devotional service is hearing and chanting. So, the disciple has to hear and the guru has to speak. Parikshit Maharaj was hearing, he was doing shravanam. Shukadeva Maharaj was doing kirtanam, he was chanting. So who is qualified to chant and who is qualified to hear? Now who is qualified to hear, that we talked about. First of all, he has to have that bank account of Sukriti, of the devotional piety. Then he has to be faithful. He has to attempt to please Guru and Krishna. So he is a faithful candidate to receive and to hear. And who is a fit candidate to speak? One who has himself properly heard, one who is repeating what he has heard and not concocting anything, and one who is practicing all the regulative principles. Right? Mentioned just a while ago. So if somebody is doing all these things very meticulously, very carefully, then he's qualified to speak. Of course, this is there are stages and grades of doing it, stages of purity, stages of advancement. But everyone can act as an instrument on behalf of Krishna, in the sense that everyone is capable of giving shiksha, maybe to a very small degree, maybe in a very humble way, and somebody may be able to give it in a very elaborate way. When in one of Prabhupada's discussions with the devotees, he saw one small child, I think she was going around telling everyone in the audience, she was tapping them and telling them, you know, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada says, she is preaching. So she was giving shiksha to people, right? So it may be something very simple. So she was acting as an instrument of Krishna at that time. But that doesn't mean, when we use guru, we are not necessarily meaning some really big person sitting on some big asana, you know, receiving all kinds of adulation and worship and things like that. We're talking of the principle of Guru Tattva. As Prabhupada is mentioning here, that basically Guru is one who is empowered by Krishna to deliver the Lord's mercy. The mercy is the Lord's. But because this living entity has become a kind of a transparent via medium, so he is transmitting the Lord's mercy on. He becomes empowered to transmit the Lord's mercy through the Lord's instructions. And by dint of his own example also. So both things are there. So one must be qualified to hear instructions, and one must be qualified to give instructions. Both things are there. Both these things are important. Right? Any other question? Comment? See, so many fundamental points come out in these teachings. They're so important for us. And every line of this purport, as I was reading, I was trying to see which one should I underline. And I ended up underlining the whole purport. Because every line, every word seems to be so heavy. It's important. So that is the value of Srila Prabhupada's purports for us. We have to take these teachings very seriously. Hare Krishna. So now time for devotees who want to help in serving prasadam. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai, Shri Chaitanya Charitamrit ki jai, Srila Rupa Goswami ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bol.